Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written in Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring Black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by Black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a Black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. And you guys, we are here again with Bethany Baptiste. This is part two of her podcast episode, which you'll know that we actually don't do this a lot on the Written in Melanin podcast, but I feel like we can't really talk about the poisons we drink without talking about what's been going on. Because if you guys listen to the podcast, you know that I've had people on and we've kind of been talking about trying to demystify some of what happens in traditional publishing. Because there's the public persona of query, get an agent, and then your book gets published. And it's kind of like, there's more to it than that. And in part one, Bethany, you explained your journey from concept to how do we get here, right? But if you are following Bethany on Twitter, which you absolutely should be, and her handle is in the show notes, so get into it. But if you're following her, then you'll know that the publication of The Poisons We Drink has led to the outrage of a lot of us, because it's just like, how dare? What is going on? And you've been very vocal about your journey and just being like, this ain't it. So that being said, I know a lot of people, especially on the internet, because everybody has an opinion on the internet. They all have their opinions, their think pieces, and, you know, how things should be handled and so on and so forth. But I kind of wanted to, like, give you space to talk about that. I know that the traditional publishing machine is not all it's cracked up to be. So for you and all of this is like, what happened? Because, you know, we're watching and we're like, wait, I saw that, you know, from my outside perspective looking in, right? I saw you do your cover reveal and I saw all the drama that went on at the end of the year. And then we got past that and it's like, okay, cool. We're on track. We're good. And then I saw that there was a Black-owned bookstore that was supposed to stock your book, that was supposed to announce with your cover reveal pre-order announcement. That went awry. And then it's like, okay, recover from that. And then you had a tour because your book was supposed to come out originally on like March 5th at the beginning of the month. You had like a tour and everything set up. And then it was like, oh, there were like misprints essentially, and that there weren't going to be books. And then it was like, wait, there will be books. And then it was like, we're going to move it back. So technically you're going to finish your tour and then the book was going to release, but it's like, okay, at least it was like within like a week of each other. But then maybe like, was it last week or earlier?
It was actually supposed to be today. They moved the publication date to today. And then I found out last week that the publication date would be moved to May 7th, but that might not be set in stone. So
wait, so I understand that you know, this is still your publisher and that there are certain things that you can and cannot talk about, but can you let us know what's happening? And I guess I don't want to, this is such a weird question to ask, but like, what kind of public outrage would you like if you could choose? Because I don't have a huge platform, but I will absolutely yell into the ether on your behalf.
You know, so I'll kind of back up to February. It was like the second to the last week of February. On a Friday, I found out that there was print errors and that because of print errors that my publication date would be moved to March 26th, but the tour would remain. And so I was very confused by that. Because I was like, okay, so, and they were like, the tour will remain and all tour stops would still have copies of the book. So if anybody wants the book before March 26th, they would have to go to the tour. And so then they made the very next week, the last week of February, they made an announcement that the publication date had been moved to the 26th due to print errors and that the tour for the very next week would remain the same. And so then the very next week on March 5th, it was going to be the day of my launch. And I went, I'm a Southerner, so I have to go see the people who's going to be hosting me and thank them for their time and thank them for hosting me, because this is a very big moment. It took a long time to get this book published. And so about 3.5 hours before the event, I went in and I said, you know, hi, my name is Bethany Baptiste. Thank you so much for hosting me. I appreciate you so much. And they were looking at me crazy. They were looking at me like I was a ghost. And so I was like, I know I'm not, I don't look that tore up that specific day. And so I was like, what's wrong? And they were like, the books aren't here. And I was like, what do you mean the books aren't here? Like, my launch is in 3.5 hours. And they're like, your books aren't here. So then just panic ensued for me. And it was very hard because it was already bad enough that I had to do a book tour before my book, like, because my book got pushed, I still have to do the book tour. And I just really wanted the book out. I just wanted to kind of just put it behind me because I've been bumped a lot of times. I sold my book in 2021. I've been moved from year to year to year, and I was just tired of moving. And so then we find out that the books are stuck states away, and they didn't know why they were stuck states away, but UPS had the books. And so I was like, so what are we gonna like, it's 3.5 hours away, like, what do we do? My publisher was like, well, we'll buy you some cupcakes and juice, and we'll buy you some cards that you can sign. And, you know, we'll make sure that the books will be ready for the other tour stops. And so it was very upsetting because it was pouring down raining that day. And I was asked, do you want to proceed with the launch? And so I was put in the position where I had to make a decision. And I did not like making that decision because there were decisions made without me at the table. So I don't like that I'm being asked on how do I want to proceed with the fallout. And so I was like, well, if you give people the chance to, like, we have enough time, give people the chance to see if they want to turn around. I live in a very big city. We have a lot of counties around us. Some people, I didn't know where they could be driving from. And so I was like, you know, if we give them a few hours, then they still have enough time to just decide that they don't want to come. Because you can't have a book launch without books. And it's pouring down raining in Florida. And so my publisher sent out the notifications that the book launch, I was worried that if we canceled it, some people wouldn't have seen the cancellation and they would have driven all that way and then found out and they would have been upset. Then on the other hand, it was, well, if we go through with the book launch with no books, people might not see the announcement. And so they would have driven all that way and there's no books at the book launch, when my publisher said that there would be books at the book launch. So it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And so it was decided that we would proceed with the book launch, but they needed to make an announcement that there were no books so that people had an opportunity to turn around. They sent out the announcement later in the day. And when I got to the event, the readers were made aware and they still decided to come. And then also the bookstore owner let them know, like, again, like, we're sorry. But I mean, a lot of people showed up, more than I thought. We had a very, very lovely time. My in conversation partner was very, very lovely. And so then that was that. And so then the day before it was time for me to leave for Miami for my Coral Gables stop, I was made aware that there was a 50-50 chance that the books wouldn't be there. So I was like, oh, again. And so they let me know less than 24 hours, not even 24 hours, probably like 16 hours before my flight. And I was just like, I was at a loss. So they were like, do you want to proceed with this tour stop? And I was like, well, I put in a lot of money to have things in place so I can go on tour. Like, I can't make a decision less than 24 hours before. Like, yeah, cancel it. Like, I'm already in it. Like, I've already put money in to make sure that everything is in place so that I can leave. And so I was like, I'm just going to go. And if the books aren't there, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. And they were like, well, it's a 50-50 shot, but we'll keep you up to date. And so the very next day, that Friday, I fly to Miami, and then I get a message saying that the books are there. Thank God. Okay. So I was able to proceed with comfort. I got to hold my book for the first time, my hardcover book for the first time. It was a very emotional time. It was, once again, it was such a lovely, lovely event, people that showed up. And I had such a wonderful time. And so then all of the other book stops, they had their books without issue. Mm-hmm. And all of the other tour stops went off without a hitch. And so then fast forward to last week, I think it was on a Wednesday, I get a phone call from my agent. And at first I thought it was a, you've got an offer, because I have a book on submission right now. It's a middle grade book. And so we've been on submission for over a month. And I was like, anytime she calls me out the blue, like I get my hopes up. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. It's an offer. It's something exciting. But she calls me and she tells me that bad news. There is print errors and they're pushing my publication date to May 7th. And so once again, I'm only like barely a week from my publication date. And I, you know, it's almost like that's kind of just like the straw that breaks the camel's back type situation, because there's just been a lot of things leading up to it. And so I just couldn't take it anymore. That was like when you get bumped so many times, I just got tired. And so I went on social media and I made a vague vent thread about my experience with my publisher. And I didn't, to be 100% honest, I did not even expect for it to receive the reception that it did. I did not expect it to receive the reception that I did. And I didn't even say why I was upset. I just said, I just received some bad news from my publisher. And then I just went off because I was just tired of it. And it's when you receive news and then you are told like, yeah, this is going out tomorrow, and you don't have any time to process anything. It's just, this is what it is. And so that's that. And so I got tired. And so I made my thread. I didn't expect it to receive the reception that it did. And so then my publisher made an announcement about print errors. Everyone connected two with two. Everyone's confused because, you know, and I understand the reader's frustrations, because you have readers who have bought the book because they went to the tours events. And so there was only like a 2-week wait between when the tour it was and then when the book would have been published. So a lot of people were just like, okay, sure. But now you have people who have pre-ordered the book and they've been waiting a long time, and they have to wait until May 7th, but then all of the events in between, if you go to that event, you get to walk away with the book. And that's clearly unfair. That's clearly unfair that other people get the book and then other people have to wait. It was already bad enough they had to wait 2 weeks, but 2 weeks isn't too bad. So now they have to wait 2 months. That's a lot. And going, and then also me going on a book tour, the book tour ends, and then my book gets pushed to 2 months later. What was the point? And so the issue was that the printer, once the error was identified, they could only print so many copies. And so there were enough copies for the events and the book boxes and all that stuff like that. But there's not enough copies to fulfill the pre-orders online. And so they need more time. And so the printer would have the copies available in April, but my publisher wanted that extra time in the event that something else happened. They had cushion to correct that. So instead of, they miscalculated when they chose March 26th, they miscalculated how long it would take for the printer to get their shit together. And that's why it got bumped even further away. And so that's why the books that's why the book is now coming out May 7th. And it was just a very frustrating experience, but it was a culmination of different things. Like on March 5th, the day of my book launch and the original publication date, I started getting messages from people saying, happy book birthday. And I was like, no, my book doesn't come out until March 26th. And so like I kept correcting people. But then when Waterstones tagged me, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Like a literal bookstore is tagging me. Something is off. Something's really off. So I go and I message the team and I'm like, is my book out today? Because I'm getting people saying happy book birthday to me, and I keep correcting them saying that it's March 26th, but like is my book out today? And they were like, yeah, your book is out today for the UK, Canada, and Australia. And I was like, I thought that all the publications dates were moved to the 26th. And they were like, no, we decided to keep the international paperback for May 5th. And I was like,
And they didn't tell you that? They didn't feel the need to divulge that information.
It was not relayed to me properly. And so they were like, yeah, our international sales team worked really hard. And I was like, yes, they did work like amazingly hard. Like they did like a phenomenal job. So I learned several things that day. So I learned that my book came out in other countries, three separate countries. One country, I didn't even think that it would come out there, but I found out it came out in Canada. And I was like, that's good to know. I didn't even know Canada was a part of the equation. And then I was like, you know, me knowing when my book comes out, that's basic information. So, you know, and they're like, sorry, we thought we apologize for not relaying that properly. And so then I ask, like, is there anything else I should know? Question mark. And that was in the morning. And then like a few hours later, I go to the bookstore, find out that there were no books there, and found out later that my publisher was scrambling because they found out that the books weren't there, but they didn't tell me. And so like they knew. And so I was just like, oh, okay. So when I was asking, like, is there anything else I need to know that I don't, and you know, I kind of wonder if like, what would have happened if I hadn't have gone to the bookstore and been my little Southerner self and was like, hi, it's me, Bethany. Like, I wonder what would have happened. Like, how long would they have taken to like let me know like, hey, there are no books. Because then I received an email saying, we didn't want you to find out that way. We didn't want you to find out like that. We're sorry. And so we're trying to figure out the situation. And I was just like, I wish I would have known. So not only did I really not get to even celebrate my publication day, because even though the hardcover got moved, the hardcover for the US got moved to March 26th, I didn't even get the chance to celebrate the paperback release. So, and then I have my book launch, and then I find out that there are no books. And so all of this happens in one day. And that's just a lot. It was a lot. And so it was just honestly, and the reason why I made that thread is because between December to March, like it was just boom, boom, boom. Like stuff was always happening. Like if it wasn't publishing related, it was debut stuff related. If it was personal life related, and it was health related. And I just couldn't take it anymore. I could not take it anymore. And I'm not saying that I do appreciate the work that my publisher has put into getting The Poisons We Drink out to the educators and the librarians and the booksellers, and they work really, really hard. But we can acknowledge the good while also acknowledging the bad. And so that culmination, and then I just snapped. And so after I made the thread, and then the announcement came from my publisher, and people put two and two together, I did not expect the reception that it did. I didn't expect to get so much public support. I didn't expect to see so many people just reach out to me and comfort me, because I've been having a really rough time in my personal life, health-wise, personal-wise, just work-wise, like all types. So everyone was just like being really, really supportive, and people could, you know, see that. Kept quiet for a very long time about things that were happening. And, you know, I have not elaborated on the extent of everything, but I would say that there is this culture in traditional publishing that you have to stay quiet. Don't say anything. You say something, they'll ruin your career. If you say something, then they're not going to want you. If you say something, then you're not going to ever sell a book again. If you say something, then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and the industry's going to mistreat you. And so when, after so many years of that, then when you realize, well, I'm already quiet and I'm still not being treated right, so then what does it matter? Like, what does it matter? We already are going out on submission. Like, Black authors are already going out on submission and we're getting told no. Or Black authors are going out on submission and we're getting pennies for advances. The goalposts are moving. You need to sell this many copies. Okay, you sold that many copies. Okay, well, you need to sell this many copies. Okay, well, you sold that many. Then you need to sell this many copies. Okay, and then it's like, here's another book. And you get pennies for it. Like, well, based on the sales that you've already, we just, you know. And it's like a universal, you know, experience. Staying quiet. You're trying to advocate for yourself. You're trying to advocate for your book. You're trying to advocate for the readers. And it's a lot of what you say goes in one ear and out the other. And they only come rushing to you when everything is on fire and they think you have the water. And so I feel like a lot of the times, Black or BIPOC authors, we don't get brought into the fold until everything has fallen apart, and then we have to make a decision based on the fallout. How do you want to proceed with this? And so it's almost like playing like a game of Jenga, right? And your publishing experience is the Jenga tower. And every decision that your publisher makes, positive or negative, they either can add to it or they can take away from it. And if the tower falls over, then that's when they come to you and ask, how would you like to proceed?
That is insane. Like, I have no other words other than that is wild. But, you know, I also appreciate you for sharing that because, you know, I feel like you said, there's this kind of, you don't talk about it, right? Especially if you are on the outside looking in. There is this idea of like, we don't really know what goes on behind the gilded gates of traditional publishing, you know? And the few people that I know who really talk about it, it's always like, oh, I'm one of the lucky ones because I had a positive experience, you know? And it's always the, well, you know, you hear that it can be bad, right? But no one ever really talks about it and what that looks like because, you know, from the outside looking in, it's very easy to, you know, distance and to just disassociate and be like, oh man, that sucks. But no, it's just like, listen, like they are literally, this is your book. You pour time and energy and effort. And for anyone listening to this, if you are an author, you understand, but if you're a reader, please do understand that writing a book is not easy. In America, generally speaking, making a generalization, everybody knows how to read, everybody knows how to write, everybody knows how to put sentences together, right? But telling a story, writing a book is a unique skill that has to be fostered, grown, pour time, energy, studied. It's something you have to get good at. Then, like you said, talking about your experience, you have to be good. It's not just about being good. It's not just about having the skill. It's also about having the luck and the timing and the people behind you willing to show up and be like, I'm going to be the voice of your book in places and rooms that you can't get into without me. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And so then to go through all of that and then have the people who are supposed to be your team, to be your support, to be the people making this a reality, like, fall apart at the seams, essentially, and drop the ball at every turn. It's just like, that is not okay. And, you know, I'm not throwing shade at your publisher, but it's also something that I've kind of seen and that Black authors on social media have talked about for a while. You know, there is a disparity between, you know, the money and the support and how things actually work. And so it's like, if on the positive end, you still have all of this work that you have to do, all the legwork that you have to do yourself, you know, I guess the question from the outside becomes, it's like, you know, what is the benefit, you know, of doing all of this? And I don't know, it infuriates me because I'm like, I'm listening to you and I'm like, I'm so angry on your behalf. I'm just like, why? And I guess also as an indie author, I'm like, I understand that there are publishing delays. As soon as you said UPS, I was like, oh, UPS. I hate UPS. We got beef. They don't know that we have beef, but we got beef. And I'm just like, but also at the same time, it's like, why does this keep happening? Why is this a repeat issue? And I also understand misprints happen. But I'm also like, if you caught this while you were on your tour, why is it that this couldn't have been corrected in enough time to actually make a release date? And I don't know, I guess in my mind, I'm like, I understand that the show has to go on, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, if you mess up once, that's one thing. But when you're continuously messing up on the same thing, at some point you have to be like, okay, we're going to stop and we're going to pour all of our effort into correcting this. And from the outside looking in, right, I'm just kind of like, where has the course correction been instead of just kind of hoisting off all of the, well, better luck next time energy onto you.
You know, it was very much all hands on deck. There were reassurances that it's all hands on deck during the disasters or the issues that have happened all throughout. So my issue with traditional publishing, and it's not just me, my issue with traditional publishing is that it does a very good job at pretending that they treat their authors as humans and not as products. And so it's very much, if something ever happens, there's always this excuse from either other authors, editors, and agents and what have you, or even readers. Yeah, say when something happens, it's always, it's a business. This is a business. Mm-hmm. And so, but behind the scenes, when the fallout happens, some publishers will acknowledge that, hey, we literally have humans behind the books that, behind these books that they're writing for us. And then others just simply do not acknowledge the decisions that they've made have impacted the authors, and because they don't view authors as humans, they view them as products. And so, perfect example, lately there have been imprint closures, right? And authors and editors will find out the day of, like everybody else, that they find out from an email, or they find out from like a publisher's weekly or publisher's marketplace article, this imprint is closed. So they're finding out as we're finding out. The publisher made that decision and they completely disregarded that, oh, the people at this imprint, whether it be editors or the authors or the other people in these positions, these important positions that make the imprint what it is, there are humans who have feelings, and maybe they shouldn't find out in an email the same day as everyone else in the entire world. They don't think about stuff like that. They don't consider stuff like that. They don't consider what it's like. They don't care what it's like if editor A bought a black book, is an advocate for that black book, cherishes that black book and that black author. The imprint closes, that editor either gets moved somewhere else or fired. So now you have a black book and a black author who get put with another editor, not based on compatibility, just based on scarcity. They get put with another editor that might not have the same enthusiasm, the same care as the previous editor. And so now you have a black author that is in a situation where they do not feel wanted. And it's because of a situation that publisher created by making these decisions behind the scenes and not giving people the opportunity to process the information, not giving them that grace. And so it's just very interesting watching traditional publishing treat the people within it like objects, products. And that those experiences, that's not even anything that has happened to me. I've watched it happen to others, and no courtesy is given to those people, the editors that have spent decades at those publishers, or the authors, maybe it's their debut author, maybe they're an experienced author that has sold lots of books. No courtesy or grace is given to them like that. And that's what publishing is. We like to pretend that we might have a passion for books, but the business of making the book and getting it published, it's a very cold business. It's a very, very cold business. It's a very cold, heartless business.
Yeah. And it's just, I guess it's always kind of wild to see, because again, outside looking in, right? I've never queried, I've never done, you know, pursued traditional publishing, right? So it's just kind of like outside looking in, it's always like, how do you treat people this way? How do you dismiss them? How do you look at someone's work? And then, and how do you look at someone who's advocating for this book and be like, no? How do you look at readers who are very vocal on the internet about what it is that they want and the type of books that they want and what they're looking for, and then turn around and be like, but there's no money to be made? And people are literally like, shut up and take my money. Like, I would pay good money for this. It's just such an interesting thing. And I know that I was like, you know, speaking from, you know, we live in America, specifically the American South, right? Like, I know the answers to these questions, but it's also just like, from being a human, you're like, how do you treat people like this? How do we get to this point? And how do we continue to allow it to function like this? It's wild and it's unhinged. And it's just kind of like, okay, but what are the alternatives, you know? And it's one of those things where, like, as an indie author, I'm always an advocate for indie, being an indie author, but I'm also like, it is a lot of work, and it's not for everyone. Like, being the solution of just, oh, do it yourself does not dismiss the reality that it's still a lot of work, and it's not something that everyone can do. Like, there's a reason why people take the routes that they take in the first place. But it's just, like I said, listening is just like, it's wild and it's eye-opening, and it's, you know, I hope that if anyone's listening to the podcast, there, it's something to take, that is the grain of salt. Then whenever I'm like, hey, take everything with a grain of salt, this is the grain of salt that I'm talking about. There's light and dark to everything, yin and yang.
And it's very, you know, there are moments in the process of publishing a book that remind you why you love writing books. And I know that when I have connected with readers who have reached out to me, whether it be on social media or whether when I did my book tour, to come face to face to them during a very difficult time made me realize why I love writing so much. But being an author or being in traditional publishing, it's a very polarizing experience because we have to have a passion and a love for stories. But on the flip side, as I said, it just can be very, very cold if you just don't have the right circumstances. It can be a very, very cold experience. And for someone that has mental illnesses like me, it's very hard to be constantly put in situations where I feel like, actually not even feel, because that makes it seem like it could go either way, where I know that I'm not valued. I know I'm not valued. Yeah. So it's a balancing act. And so a lot of people in my situation isn't uncommon. Now, the amount of issues might be uncommon, but the situation of having a difficult relationship with your publisher when it comes to Black authors or BIPOC authors or marginalized authors or disabled authors, it's not uncommon. It's very, very common. It's just it's easier for people to keep quiet because they feel that by keeping quiet, it's a survival tactic.
Yeah.
It's a survival tactic, and they want to stay in the industry for as long as they can because this is a dream job of theirs. Now, for me, I would love to publish more books, but writing books and publishing books, it does not pay my bills. I work three jobs and beyond writing and doing my obligation. So I'm really working four jobs. And yeah, it's easier for me to be more open because I have nothing to lose, as opposed to others who want this to be their full-time writing job. They want to have that security. Me, at this point, you know, if I never sell a book again, it's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna break my bank, because I'm already working, you know, the jobs that I need to support myself. But I understand why people choose to be quiet.
Yeah, I get that 100%. And I'm going to say this and then I'll wrap us up, because we are, again, encroaching on that 45-minute mark. But I understand what you're saying 100%, because, you know, before I was, you know, doing this writing, Written in Melanin, and Melanin Library, etc., I was a teacher. And, you know, if you guys have listened to the podcast, y'all know that this is my backstory. And I was not cut out to be a teacher. That was not my calling. I should never been there in the first place. But I also remember that moment when I was just like, I hate this and I'm about to peace out. And the thing is, the things that pushed me to ultimately make that decision the way that I did, because I'm gonna lie, I did not have a graceful exit. I was the epitome of, I will burn this place down, right? That was the problem. I acknowledge that. But the things that drove me to that point were not things that I alone was experiencing. It just got worse because I had a security. I had my husband. And so I was like, you know, I don't need this to survive. This is not, you know, something that I'm like, if I leave, I'm not going to have like insurance. Because, and I remember talking to one of my coworkers, and she literally had a breakdown during our planning period. And she was like in the fetal position in her classroom. And she was sick, she was throwing up, she was crying, and she was like, she hated it, and she was overworked to the point, because here's the thing about teaching, is like, when you're good at your job, they make you do more. They're like, oh, you should be in charge of this. Oh, you should lead the kids in this. Oh, you should stay after school to be in charge of this.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to give you the difficult kids because we know you can handle it, you know, but we also want you to train the other teachers. So there's always going to be someone in your room disrupting your schedule with your difficult kids because you can handle it. And it just kind of came a thing. And she was having this breakdown or whatever. And she was literally like, you know, it's making her sick, like literally physically ill. And she was like, but, you know, she can't leave because she's got three kids and all of them are autistic and she can't not have them on insurance. There cannot be a lapse in their insurance, because if there is, they're going to lose all their services, and it takes years to get them services to begin with. Yeah. And so she was like, she has to put up with this, you know. So when you talk about it and you're like, you know, there are some authors who are like, you know, we got to grin and bear it. We got to suck it up because this is it. And if we are loud, if we point out the parts of the machine that are broken, then they might kick us out. We won't be a part of it anymore. That is a very real fear. And I just kind of, like I said, I kind of hate that the expectation is that we are just, we, and I say we collectively as like Black authors, right? Because like I said, I'm not in the traditional publishing machine. I just kind of hate that the expectation is that you're just supposed to go along with it and accept it for what it is. And even when, you know, people start talking about how much they made off of their books, it's like that disparity is there. And it's just like, but you at some point you have to get to the point where you realize that there is somebody who sat down and looked at that contract and looked at what they were offering, and they knew that they were offering so much less than another book. They are doing this intentionally. And I think it kind of falls into this realm of, you know, we're often pushed into conversations of, well, if you don't like it, just do it yourself. But then it's just like, you don't just become a Big Five publisher. That's not something you just build overnight and you're just like, cool, we have our own. And, you know, knowing people who are, you know, trying to start indie presses and trying to do other things, it's like, getting things off the ground, starting from ground zero, is not an easy task. And for many of us, it's just like, we don't want to create the thing. We just want equal treatment within the things and that already exist, you know? And it's always wild to me that other people see that as like a completely like brand new, wow, like shocking revelation. Like, what? This is, it's weird. It's wild. I'm not a fan. Am not a fan. Would not recommend. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, nothing changes unless we are in it and pushing and talking about it. And it's just like, you need both sides of it. And I don't know. I don't, there's no solution to be like, oh, this is how we fix it. This is where we go from here. And I think that is the exhausting part of being Black and an author. It's just like, there is no solution. There is no, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you turn the puzzle around, the pieces just still don't quite fit together the way that they're supposed to.
I mean, am I terrified that by speaking up about my experience, I'm worried, but you know, at the end of the day, I taught for 7 years inner city public school inclusion class, and you love the work, but the emotional labor, your emotional labor will never get its points. It'll never get its points, and that's very much like traditional publishing. I would love to stay in the industry, but you know. It would be nice to know what it's like to be lucky. I don't really feel lucky, but I hope that I have more opportunities to find out what that feels like.
I hope you do too. I genuinely do, because it sounds like you are writing books that people actually want. Like, I'm not going to go into it because, you know, we're running out of time, but I will say this. Like, I feel like you are writing for the audience that has been desperately asking for books that have not been delivered, that have been promised but not fully delivered. I'll say that. But we are going to go ahead and wrap it up here. So I want to thank you again for coming on the podcast. You have a little bit of time to let people know where to find you on the interwebs, and then I will take us out.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. That's the best bet. Twitter under Story Sorcery. You can also find me site, which is BethanyBaptiste.com.
Sounds good. And you guys know that there will be links wherever you are listening to this at, whether it be on YouTube or podcast. Just go to the place to get the link. So, that being said, you guys, that is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join the Patreon at patreon.com/writtenandmelanin, or grab a copy of my books on our website, cmlawproject.com. There are links in the show notes for everything. And again, thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, I hope all your books are full of fun.